This is the 11th verse of 5th canto, chapter 7. The activities of King Bharat. That most exalted devotee, Maharaj Bharat, in this way engaged constantly in the devotional service of the Lord. Naturally, his love for Vasudev, Krishna, increased more and more and melted his heart. Consequently, he gradually lost all attachment for regulative duties. The hairs of his body stood on end, and all the ecstatic bodily symptoms were manifest. Tears flowed from his eyes, so much so that he could not see anything. Thus he constantly meditated on the reddish lotus feet of the Lord. At that time his heart, which was like a lake, was filled with the water of ecstatic love. When his mind was immersed in that lake, he even forgot the regulated service of the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When one is actually advanced in ecstatic love for Krishna, 8 transcendental blissful symptoms are manifest in the body. These are the symptoms of perfection arising from loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since Maharaj Bharat was constantly engaged in devotional service, all the symptoms of ecstatic love were manifest in his body. Maybe we can read a few more. Actually, there's just a couple more to end the chapter. And then there's a long question. The next one is, Maharaj Bharat appeared very beautiful. He had a wealth of curly hair on his head, which was wet from bathing 3 times daily. He dressed in a deerskin. He worshipped Lord Narayan, whose body was composed of golden effulgence, and who resided within the sun. Maharaj Bharat worshipped Lord Narayan by chanting the hymns given in the Rig Veda, and he recited the following verse, as the sun rose. Purport. The predominating deity within the sun is Hiranmaya, Lord Narayan. He is worshipped by the Gayatri mantra, Om Bhur Bhuvaha Swa. Tat Savatur Varanyam Bhargo Devi Siddhimihi. He is also worshipped in other hymns mentioned in the Rig Veda. For instance, Dayak Sada Savitri Mandala Maja Varti. Within the sun, Lord Narayan is situated and he has a golden hue. So that Gayatri mantra is known very much all over the world at Om Bhur Bhuvaha Swaha and Tat Savitur. That's not referring to Vivisvan, it's referring to Surya Narayan. That's within the sun and Krishna. But that one is, I was in a supermarket in Indonesia, and that one was playing, over the PA system, on television, everything was in India, and so many people sing it. But mostly they don't know what it's all about. But it's about Krishna. Then the next verse, which is the last verse of the chapter, oh, this one is an ordinary one. Paro Raja Savitu Jatavedo Devasya Bargo Manasedam Jajana Sure Tasada Punar Aniya Chaste Hamsam Kridranam Nishad Ringiram Ima Para Raja. Beyond the modes of passion, situated in the pure mode of goodness. Savitu, of the one who illuminates the whole universe. Jataveda, from which all the devotees' desires are fulfilled. Devasya, of the Lord. Varga, the self-effulgence. Manasa, simply by contemplating. Idam, this universe. Jajana, created. Saretasa, by spiritual potency. Ada, this created world. Puna, again. Asusha, excuse me, Avisha, entering. Chaste, sees or maintains. Hamsam, the living entity. Gridijam, desiring for material enjoyment. Nishat, in the intelligence. Ringiram, to one who gives motion. Ima, let me offer my obeisances. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness. He illuminates the entire universe and bestows all benedictions upon his devotees. The Lord has created this universe from his own spiritual potency. According to his desire, the Lord entered this universe as a supersoul, and by virtue of his different potencies, he is maintaining all living entities desiring material enjoyment. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the giver of intelligence. Okay, repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness. He illuminates the entire universe and bestows all benedictions upon his devotees. The Lord has created this universe from his own spiritual potency. According to his desire, the Lord entered this universe as the supersoul, and by virtue of his different potencies, he is maintaining all living entities desiring material enjoyment. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the giver of intelligence. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The predominating deity of the sun is another expansion of Narayan, who is illuminating the entire universe. The Lord enters the hearts of all living entities as the supersoul, and he gives them intelligence and fulfills their material desires. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Riddhi Sannivishta. I am sitting in everyone's heart. 15:15. As the Supersoul, the Lord enters the hearts of all living entities. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Andantarastasa Paramana Chayantarastam, he enters the universe and the atom as well. In the Rig Veda, the predominating deity of the sun is worshipped by this mantra, Dayak Sada Savitri Mandala Majja Chara Narayana Sarasjanasana Sani Vishaha. Narayan sits on his lotus flower within the sun. By reciting this mantra, every living entity should take shelter of Narayan just as the sun rises. According to modern scientists, the material world rests on the sun's effulgence. Due to the sunshine, all planets are rotating and vegetables are growing. We also have information that the moonshine helps vegetables and herbs grow. Actually, Narayan within the sun is maintaining the entire universe. Therefore, Narayan should be worshipped by the Gayatri Mantra or the Rig Mantra. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport for the fifth canto, seventh chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Activities of King
Bharat.
Anuganatamirandasya Ganangana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Padavisvam Parantika Vandeham Shri Guru Shiuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sagana Raghunathanditam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shishi Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam
Itam Ischa
Lancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patita Nam Pavane Vyodaishna Vyodaishna Srimad Bhagavatam is all about surrender to Krishna, actually. All about bhakti. Whatever else there is, it's always in relation to Krishna and stressing the importance of giving up everything for Krishna. Whatever we're doing. This universe is created by Krishna, and you know, we have the gross elements, Bhumir Apo and Lovayu, Kamino Burevacha, Ankara Iti Ame, Bina Prakritir Ashtada. Those are the things we're familiar with, the water, the earth, the fire. Of course, modern scientists will say how stupid that is to say there's five elements, because now they have recognized how many elements there. But they all fall within one of those things. They're either earth, water, fire, air, some gas, some liquid, some fire. They call the elements. So those are basic elements, and mind, intelligence, and false ego. Then, as Krishna describes, and then he says, Pariyamatastanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam daryate jagata. There's another energy. That's the living entities who are struggling with the material nature. So that's why the material universe exists, because somehow or other, some living entities, we have this desire to lord it over or to exist separately from Krishna. So he provides a place where we think that we're living separately from him. But he's fulfilling all the desires. The living entity is just desiring, and then he gets, you know, a type of body that's suitable for his desires, and he's in a certain situation, all because of desire. And that's one of the first things that someone has to understand before they can actually take to spiritual life. You have to understand that, you know, whatever situation we're in, that it's our own destiny. We create our own destiny. It's not like God just put us here, you know, like a child will pick up a mouse or something and then throw it to the cat, you know. Right? Krishna's not doing like that. He's just giving everybody exactly what they want. What he wants is for us to get out of the material world and to get back to where we belong, to the spiritual world. So he's making a lot of arrangements within the material world. Coming himself, many incarnations, and, you know, leaving scripture, and great acharyas coming and empowering different things. And also, part of it is that the material world is so miserable. And especially now for us, Kali Yuga is especially miserable. And Parikshit should ask, and why would God make something so bad? And the answer is that the souls who are still, you know, trying to enjoy the material world and coming into Kali Yuga are very dull-headed, so they need to see things really bad before they can understand. You know, otherwise, and even now, most people think, no, it's okay. I'm fine. I'm enjoying. No matter what their condition is, I'll just get a little better. It's so many books, you know, how to get rich, because they're convinced that getting rich will solve all your problems. Although so many rich people are not happy, and usually they just want more and more. They may be happy getting more and more. They think they're happy. So they write books on, you know, how to get rich. They give seminars. And people pay a lot of money. And the idea is that, you know, you'll get pleasure. When you have money, kama artha, you know, economic development, and then you can purchase whatever you want, right? You can go wherever you want. You can get the girls. You can get whatever food you want. Rich people, we see them anywhere we go, especially if we go to a tourist area. Even if they're not rich, but they try to be, and they're thinking that they're great enjoyers because they can choose what kind of restaurant they'll go to, and what kind of beer they'll drink, and what kind of prostitute they'll get. You know, they usually have a choice from many different countries in those places, and what kind of spa treatment they'll get, and what kind of hotel they'll stay in. They're thinking, I have so much freedom. That's their desire, to enjoy like that. So Krishna has to make all those arrangements. He has to provide the earth, water, fire, and air and ether that they can build their, you know, houses and hotels from. He has to provide all the sunlight and the moonlight, which may, and the seeds and whatever makes the vegetables grow. They need both. The Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the moon gives a taste to the vegetables, right? And one devotee, his father, I guess, was a farmer. He told me, his father said, you know, farmers know that. So these modern vegetables that grow in a sheltered place, they don't get much taste. And they don't grow even in the earth. They just grow in water with chemicals. So they don't get taste or nutrition or anything the way they're supposed to. Krishna has made all perfect arrangements. But the humans have power to, you know, do what they want. They try to, you know, utilize the sun, I guess, a little bit to generate electricity and different things. But they don't recognize that, you know, Krishna is there. That's considered in the universal form the eye of the Lord. So it's actually not the most, you know, it's a small part of the body of the Lord. But within the universe, the sunlight is, you know, extremely important. It's giving the energy for everything else to live. So devotees, you know, we see the sun every day. Not always we can actually see the sun, but we see the influence of the sun. It gets light every day, right? No matter how cloudy it is, the sun is shining, and it's only covered a little bit. You know, we can't see it because of the clouds, but somewhere else someone is seeing it. And if you rise above the clouds, then you can see it very clearly.
But, and it's moving and perfectly in its orbit, and, you know, bringing light and day and night, and it's all arranged perfectly by Krishna. If the sun was just a little bit closer, the earth would burn up. Nothing could live. If it was a little bit further away, everything would freeze. But somehow or other, it stays perfect, right? And the stupid scientist will say that's just by chance. Although if they make a machine that, you know, goes around and around, even that we have the story of Isaac Newton, he made some kind of model of the universe as they knew it, planets going around. And his friend was marveling over what a wonderful thing it was. And he said, who made it? He said, nobody made it. It just happened. And the friend was, no, look at how nice this is. And everything's going around nicely, and who made it? Finally, he said, "You say that the universe is happening without any direction, without any creator, all by accident. So why can't a model of the universe also be happening by accident?" Right? An intelligent question. Right? Isaac Newton. I just read that by the end of his life, he wrote more about God than he wrote about science. if you in school, did you ever hear anything like that? All you hear about is the apple falling down and the, you know, whatever other, for every action there's an equal reaction. That was the law of karma that he observed, that, you know, there's always, action means reaction. Karma literally means action, but you can't have action without reaction. You can't do something that doesn't create some result in the material world. So people, they have their desires. Krishna arranges the body and the circumstances and the place and everything to fulfill their desires, and they get more and more entangled until they can be rescued. The material universe, like a spider web, when any other insect contacts a spider's web, he sticks to it. And when he tries to get out, he just gets more and more entangled in it. If he tries to reach over and get another, he gets stuck more and more until the spider comes. But the spider can walk around all he wants on the web and tie up the living entity even more. So Krishna, he can come into the material universe. He can create it and he can come in, but he doesn't get entangled in it like we do, like any other living entity does. He's aloof. He's a controller of everything. But he's coming not to just see how everyone's suffering and get a good laugh, not to cause more suffering. He wants us all to be out. So he comes to deliver, you know, the living entities. And in this age, he especially mercifully came himself fully, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and brought with him from Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtan. He brought with him the Maha Mantra and the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And that's called Sarva Mantra Sar. When we're chanting that mantra, then all the other mantras are covered. Otherwise, you got one mantra for the sun and one for the moon and one for each demigod and one for all the different incarnations and different times of the day and everything that, you know, a smarta Brahman might be worried about. But if one is chanting the Maha Mantra for the pleasure of Krishna, then it's covering everything. If we just read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, there's no need to, you know, the Bhagavatam itself says, what is the need of any other literature? Dharma projita kaita votra nirmat saranam satam vejya mastavanatya shivaram tapa triumvavanam srimad bhagavate. That the Bhagavatam is, there's no need of anything else. It kicks out any religion that's materially motivated. That means the practitioner, not the process. But if someone is practicing, you know, for material gain, then that is foolishness. Because material gain is coming about anyway by one's karma. It's better, of course, to do yajnas and pujas and mantras for material gain than to just rob, steal, and kill, or just take whatever you want and think that it's all by your own endeavor. At least that's the beginning when someone is, you know, doing some yajna for somebody to think to give them benedictions. But Krishna is actually giving all the benedictions. If one is sincere, then Krishna will always help him. You know, it's just in Bangkok, so there's one devotee there. He's only known about Krishna consciousness for a few years, but he's very, very enthusiastic, and he's actually making so many other people become devotees. But, you know, he's a Hindu his whole life, so on his altar he had a big Durga, big Ganesh. He was saying that previously, before he found out about Krishna, you know, he was worshipping Durga all the time. But somehow or other he must have been sincere, so Durga blessed him. Because she's devotee. She's Maya, but she wants people to surrender to Krishna. So someone sincerely seeking the absolute truth, then, you know, but they're offering everything really to Krishna, but they're offering, it's meant for Krishna. Krishna says, when they worship other gods, it's meant for him, but it's offering offered without proper understanding. But Lord Chaitanya comes and he sends devotees all over the world to, you know, wake people up, to enliven them, to tell them like who they are, and to bring that Sankirtan mission, which is so simple and so much knowledge. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this story of Bharat Maharaj is very important. He was at very advanced stage of bhava. Pure, you know, he renounced. I mean, he really had something to renounce. Most of us, you know, they might say you renounced, but you didn't have anything anyway. You know, much. And whatever we did have was troublesome or wouldn't last very long. But he was the king of the world. He was loved by everyone. He was young, healthy. He had, you know, good brothers. He had wife and children. But he became so absorbed in ecstasy of love of God that he left it all and was by himself and doing all these things that are described. But somehow or other, he became distracted. So that can happen. But, of course, it's a special pastime. How Maharaj Bharat, you know, get attracted to the deer and all the things that are going to happen. He collected flowers, twigs, tulsi leaves. He collected the water of the river, as well as various roots, fruits, and bulbs. With these, he offered food to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. He remained satisfied. His heart was completely uncontaminated. He did not have the least desire for material enjoyment. All material desires vanished. In this steady position, he felt full satisfaction and was situated in devotional service. And all this ecstasy, he was very beautiful. And he's worshiping the Lord. So, but even then, he, you know, he got distracted later, and then he had to take a few more births. But they were all Krishna conscious, also. So, it's not that one shouldn't renounce. Sometimes people think, well, he couldn't, you know, if he got distracted, why should I try? Let me first enjoy the material world. He'd enjoyed fully, but he had no desire to enjoy. Even from before he became the king, when Rishabhdev renounced, he named him to be the king above all the other brothers because he was the most exalted one. He was already, you know, Krishna conscious. So we just want to meditate on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Study these things. These are the most wonderful things in the world. How the Lord, you know, comes into this Kali Yuga and is, you know, giving, sending so many devotees, arranging so many temples, so many festivals everywhere. So many Harinams, so many Kirtans, so many books, Srimad Bhagavatam, are being distributed every day. So many Bhagavad Gitas. It's having a big effect on the world. But it's we're meant to take part. We're meant to join in enthusiastically, to be with Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, to be meeting people, to be giving them, you know, whatever take of Krishna consciousness. Everybody wants happiness, everybody wants, and they're not going to get it without Krishna. They may get some illusory, temporary happiness. They fill their belly, or they get intoxicated, so they're thinking, now I'm happy. But there's always bad side effects, and it doesn't last. And they know that, so they just keep trying to, forget. Keep thinking that, they can maintain their beauty. There's so much anxiety now about growing old, so they have all these treatments and spas and anti-aging, right? So many machines, and you can pay so much money and get your skin fixed and get the blackout from under your eyes and get new hair put on and new teeth and, take the fat off and put some muscle on and, all these things so that illusorily think that, you're not getting old. And they promise, they'll find some technology or some kind of, there's so many advertisements for the newest herbal cure for everything somebody's selling, right? But still, everybody grows old and dies. And the foolish people look at the devotees and say, well, devotees are also dying, right? Devotees are also getting disease. So what's the difference? Why should I be a devotee? I might get cancer too. I thought that, I would pray that, I saw one Christian guy on television in America, and he had a huge audience. And he was leading the prayer, and he was saying, you will never get sick. I pray in the name of, whatever. And the people were, you will never have any problem in your life, and you will get everything you want, and you will enjoy like anything. And the people were just crying. They were just so happy, and they're giving him so much money. So he was enjoying like anything, they have their problems also. They get sick also, but so they get bigger crowds than we do, because we're saying, it might get worse. You surrender to Krishna, he might take away everything. You never know what he's going to do, because he gives everybody what's the best for them. But one rises above. Extracting all his happiness or pleasure from, the material situation, from the situation that the material body's in, or the situation that the, the weather is, or something. Because the material world is just nothing but trouble. Everywhere in the world they have some trouble, something they're scared of. When we travel in the airport, there's always warnings. Some of them still have the warning for that SARS, which came and went. But when they were really promoting that, people stopped traveling in some countries. If there's a terrorist somewhere, then the tourists go somewhere else. But they can't realize that it's just, dukkhalayam asasvitam. There's danger at every step. They say, well, just avoid this place, we'll avoid that place. In Southeast Asia, when they had that, I guess it was the SARS. So they had, if you had a fever, if you had a cough, if you had a headache, then you better get checked. Because everybody has those things. And when you get off the plane, they had a camera there to take your temperature. A special camera, and they're watching. And, light up, with different colors, and they could tell if you had a fever or not. So, and then, they have the bird flu, and then they have the tsunami, and then there's AIDS, and there's one thing after another. But when we tell them the material world is a place of birth and death, and there's no pleasure in it, they don't, why, how can you say that? I'm fine. I got my, there's so many nice hospitals, so many good doctors now, so many miraculous surgery. And it is, they do things that, in medically that seemingly make people live longer. But they don't always live better. Tom says, what's the use of the long life of ignorance like a tree? Better to have one moment of pure consciousness. The trees are living long. Even ordinary trees live quite long, right? They have those trees in America that are thousands of years old, many thousands of years old. They're so big. Some of them are so big that they cut the highway right through the middle of the tree. They drive right through the tree, and it doesn't hurt the tree. The tree is so big that that inside part rotted out or got burned in a fire or something anyway. And they just, people live inside those trees, campers. But still, and what kind of life is that? And then it's still going to come to an end. And there's no consciousness practically. Better to have full consciousness. So that's what Lord Chaitanya is giving everyone. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. He didn't come and exhibit, you know, magic tricks or anything. In the Bhagavatam, the people that exhibited the magic tricks, who are they? Huh? The demons, right? Ravana, Shalva. They're magicians. They could do so many things. They could create so many things. Not just small rings or something, but mountains and, you know, wild animals coming. And he came even with the head of Vasudev, showed Krishna, Shalva, you know, looked exactly like Vasudev. So for a minute, Krishna was shocked. Of course, Krishna is the master of all mystics, so he knew. But the Rakshasas had all the magic tricks. Rama's army didn't have any magic. They just fought. But they won, ultimately. The Rakshasas had so many illusory weapons and machines, big, big iron machines, and so many different kinds of weapons, and mystical weapons. But Rama's army fighting, just monkeys fighting with mountaintops and stones, they defeated them. So the intelligent people in Kali Yuga, fortunate people, will get the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya and join the Sankirtan movement. That is the Jagya in this age. Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishna Sango Panga Saparshadam Yajnyar Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. Krishna is coming, but he's Krishna, but he's always chanting the name of Krishna. He's not the color of Krishna. And his associates are the weapons. And normally when the Vishnu avatar comes, he has so many weapons. Swords and bows and arrows and clubs and, you know, many different weapons. But Lord Chaitanya's weapon was his associates, starting with the Panchatattva, but then so many associates were there, all the devotees. And the Jagya is the Sankirtan, the Kirtan, the spreading of Krishna consciousness, the congregational chanting, especially public chanting, and where many people can hear it. And those who have good intelligence, have good brain, they'll join. Yajantihi Sumedasa, those people will join. So, and Lord Chaitanya is, and Chananda are so merciful that even someone doesn't have a good brain, but they bring them in anyway, somehow or other. So, you know, we're all in, and there's more and more, and there's people waiting all over the world to, you know, to join the Sankirtan movement. People want to know what it is, but they don't join right away. But wherever we go, people are curious, they're fascinated, they're happy to see devotees. So we're in the movement, but let's join it, you know, 100%. Pray for the mercy to have. Keep in mind the goal of life is to surrender everything to Krishna and work towards that goal no matter what our position is along the way. But keep in mind, you know, where we're trying to go, trying to give up everything for Krishna. But that doesn't mean we don't have anything. Great devotees sometimes are very opulent in the material world, but they're using everything for Krishna. But one should not desire that or not desire that. And just desire to give everything to Krishna, whatever we have. Understand that everything belongs to Krishna. It's all His. His. He's given us everything, and we just want to utilize it for Him, whatever it is. Then we can be very happy. Then we can chant all the time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So thank you very much. People are coming from home. Any question? Everybody's completely satisfied. So I don't have too much time. This flight is the last day of the ticket, so I can't fool around. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shishi Gornitai ki jai, Heidelberg Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.